Get ready for sports laughs and puro Latino flavor with Talk About Sports. Join former MLB star Adrian Gonzalez and comedian influencer Jay Mendoza for the inside scoop on all things sports. We'll break down the stats, debate the hottest takes, and take you behind the scenes with exclusive athlete interviews. Expect hilarious banter, wild sports stories, and those weird superstitions you won't believe. It's a sports podcast like no other, hosted by two chingon Latinos who bring the heat on and off the field. Adrian, how you feeling?
Feeling great.
Me too, bro.
Looking forward to this episode. But before we get into this episode, we got some great topics. We had some prove it moments from the previous episode. Prove it moments are where we're talking about something and then we say, oh, I can do that. And then we can say, prove it. Yeah. And so we go outside and try to prove it. So we got some cool prove it moments. So take a look and hopefully you enjoy. I don't think we owe each other any push-ups from the last one, but
we don't. You know, I think it was kind of like a tie,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. You made the basket first shot. I mean, come on, that was lucky.
Hey, so
we both missed the putt, and then I beat you in the quarterback challenge.
No, you didn't beat me in the quarterback challenge, though.
I mean, I know you brought out the chancla like no other, but
yeah, hey, perfect game. Hey, but yeah. Did you think I was really going to make that basket, though?
I did not think you were going to make that basket. You proved me wrong there. You got a good stroke.
Hey, man. Hey, I just. It's you know, all in the wrist. You know, it's
the flick Mexican of the wrist. Steph Curry.
Over the top. I shot like this, but it went straight in.
Right in. I know. That was pretty sick. I got to say it.
Hey, but you did prove me wrong, or you did prove to me. I was like, yo, I didn't expect for you to make those first two with the football, though.
Oh, no. I mean, you know, I can throw a football. That's one thing I can do.
Dude, so. Hey, this guy's pretty accurate, bro. Hey, you can play quarterback, bro. Hey, you throw it, bro. I'll let you throw.
No, we got a great episode today. Some interesting topics. Let's start with Caitlin Clark and an NCAA Women's Collegiate March Madness tournament. You know, Caitlin Clark was able to make it to the finals. Did you follow any of it?
Yeah,
it was the most watched NCAA sporting program, I believe, of all time.
Wow.
Overall.
18.7. Wow.
Proving really? That women's sports, you know, there's a place for it because people do care.
The one that believed in it most was Kobe.
That's right.
He had his mambacitas, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
But this Caitlin Clark. So biggest topic, you know, coming out of it was, is Caitlin Clark the GOAT of NCAA basketball, even though she did not win one title? She's got all the records, you know. Damn. Personal records, right? The shooting, the, you know, all the most three-pointers, most points ever scored, all the personal accolades, but no championship. And a lot of people say in order to be a GOAT, you got to win the title. What's your take?
I mean, yeah, that's a tough one because that's kind of like, what do they say about Barkley? He never won anything.
Barry Bonds never won a World Series. You know, to me, he's the GOAT of baseball.
Damn. I mean, but she scored 40-something points, bro.
I know.
Like, how do you just go? Like, I mean, how many points do you think you would score? Like, if you played against these women?
If I played against these women?
Yeah.
Zero. I tell you what I would do is I would foul out.
Yeah, for
that's,
sure.
That's the only thing for I sure. can provide in basketball.
And they say Mexicans, all they are hacks, bro. We just foul everybody. Well, you're not scoring against me.
That's right.
I'm going to grab you. I'm going to push you. I'm going to do whatever I got to do, but you're not scoring on me.
That's right. We're like Dennis Rodman on the court, you know? Just do whatever we can do to push your buttons so you can get out of your game.
But you, man, she scored 40-something points.
I know. She a GOAT, though. She the GOAT. There's a couple. Brianna Stewart, I think, is a lot of people consider her the GOAT of NCAA because she won four titles. Oh, so man. Can you be the GOAT if you're the best player, but you're not on the best team?
So it's almost like you're the greatest individual.
Yeah. So is that the GOAT? So like, yeah, is that the GOAT?
Well, let me ask you, as a professional athlete, did you feel good when you were on hitting and everyone was slumping? Or did you feel good when everybody was hitting and you guys were winning?
Well, I mean, I'll tell you, my take is, and it's similar to what you're saying, I don't think you need to win a championship in a team sport to be the GOAT. I think you need, in an individual sport, you need to win to be the GOAT. But in a team sport, because there's so many factors, you know, like I said, Barry Bonds, so to me, is the best player of all time, never won a World Series. That's not his fault that he had players on his team or pitchers on his team that didn't step up. when they needed to.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, it's not his fault, you know? Yeah. And then you have players that get to the big leagues and sit on the bench and win the World Series and never played, you know, a game.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they're World Series champions. So
does that make them GOATs?
You know what I mean? Like winning a championship in a team sport, obviously being a great player, you can help elevate your teammates to create the atmosphere around to help win a title.
Yeah.
But winning a World Series does not, you know, define GOAT status, in my opinion.
Well, I'm going to say, because, I mean, she used to talk to Kobe, right? Like, Kobe used to, like,
yeah.
I think she practiced with her. Like, he was practicing with Kobe.
Yeah.
And to me, Kobe's the GOAT, so. Okay. Who's the GOAT? In basketball, Kobe's the GOAT to me.
Okay. I mean, I would say Michael Jordan, but.
Okay, I say Kobe.
We had I'll have a very unique perspective on this. And I always thought Jordan, I mean, you know, what he was able to do. My perspective on that is Phil Jackson came when I was with the Dodgers. He came to spring training. And I think it was my second year, maybe 2014, came to spring training to speak to us. And, you know, he gave us this whole speech on, like, you know, creating a culture and creating a clubhouse and all this amazing stuff. And then obviously at the end of his speech, Matt Kemp goes, all right, so who's the GOAT? Everybody's listening, you know, very attentive, but everybody wanted to know one thing.
Who's the GOAT? Yeah.
Who's the GOAT? He got to coach both of them. He got to be around both Kobe and Michael. And he said, you know, what defines both of these players is their work ethic, first and foremost. They were both the hardest workers I've ever been around. They both demanded the most out of the players around them.
Yeah.
So they're very, very similar players. People and players and their, you know, their passion and
drum roll, please, right?
Everything.
Here. Oh right. Man, I'm curious.
And then he ended the answer of the question with one thing: there will never be another Michael Jordan.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Okay.
He said Michael Jordan is by far the GOAT in his opinion.
I mean. I guess I say Kobe because I grew up on Kobe,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, of course. No, 100%.
So, I mean, like, I didn't get to watch. I watched Jordan, but I didn't get to watch
And you're
Jordan.
Probably a Laker fan. So, to you, it's even more.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
To you, it's like not just you grew up on him, but he did it for your team.
So there's
a personal connection to why he's a GOAT
for you. I
got to
watch him, bro. Like,
right?
Literally.
There is no NBA team in San Diego. So, you know, there wasn't that, like, personal connection to a team or a player.
Yeah.
So from what I watched and what I saw is, like, if Michael Jordan's on the court, that team was winning.
Yeah. You know? And he played baseball.
And he played baseball. And, you know, he took away 2-3 years that he could have won a seventh and an eighth title.
Yeah.
They probably would have won if he didn't. It was just too easy for him.
So is Caitlin the Michael Jordan of women's basketball?
I don't know enough of women's NCAA to say she is the GOAT, but you know, a lot of people are saying that she is. So, you know, she's got to be, you know, considered top
three.
She's
close, right?
She's close. She's got, I can't say she
is. Even without the championship, right?
I can't say she is because I don't follow basketball to know. But I'll tell you what, watching her I watched a couple of the games. It was pretty fun. She's like a Steph Curry to me. Yeah. Like, she'll just be like, dribble, pop.
Yeah.
And then make it from like half court. And you're like, what?
So I guess the real question is, do you believe she will make WNBA more exciting?
Absolutely. I mean, the following that she's been able to create, the, you know, the buzz is really good for the sport. And I think it's really good for just women's sports in general. LPGA is having a moment, you know, it's been fun. It was fun to watch this tournament. I enjoyed it more than the men's tournament.
Yeah. There was more viewership, right?
More viewership, you know, UConn kind of just ran with it, won every game super easily. They were the best team, won back-to-back titles. Did you get a chance to catch any of that?
Yeah, I got to catch
the men's tournament. I mean, you know, I actually did end up, I know in the previous, we talked about, you know, filling out the brackets.
Yeah.
I ended up filling out a bracket last minute.
NC State?
No, so I had Arizona winning it all.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
And I had Arizona against Purdue in the finals. Purdue got to the finals. I had a really, really good bracket. So the first, up until the Elite Eight, I was winning the bracket with like 20 people that filled it out. I was in first place in points by far. The only problem I had is that Arizona got eliminated and had them winning it all. I had San Diego State in the Final Four. UConn beat them. I put San Diego State to beat UConn. That's more like a personal thing, you know? So, And so once you had UConn beat San Diego State and Arizona get eliminated, my points just went downhill from there. And in the finals, if Purdue would have won,
yeah,
I would have won. But with UConn winning, somebody else took the money.
Got it.
Let's move on to what's the next topic, Jose?
It was the men's final. There was a heavyweight battle there.
It was Yao Ming versus Sean Bradley.
Basically,
yeah. The Twin Towers, you know?
Yeah, that was... I mean, I heard about it. Like I said, I wasn't too much into it, so I didn't really watch it.
At 7'4", right?
7'4" against 7'2".
Like, you should be dunking on people, right?
You should be.
Like, I mean, I think, feel like I'd watch it. Like, if it was just,
I mean,
like
Shaq's 7'2", right?
And he dunked on everybody.
And dunked on that. Like, it was like, I'm dunking on you.
He broke backboards, bro.
I mean, Shaq, you gave him the ball. He was dunking.
Dude, come on, man.
Why hasn't there been another guy like that?
I don't know.
I mean, was he just that athletic and strong?
I mean, but
that's one thing he did. He was strong.
If you give me a ball, Adrian, I'll dunk on you, dude.
Prove it. Prove it. You're not going to dunk on me. All
right, we got to do that. Hey, man,
I'll foul out before you dunk on me.
So you're going to be laid out on your back.
What we can do is we can lower the basket, so it'll make it feel like
you're... Oh, so you're already saying that he can dunk.
Yeah, what are you trying to say, bro?
On a 10-foot basket?
Dude, I will get my Reebok pumps, pump my shoes, and jump high, bro. I will dunk on you, too. If you want to go first, you can go first.
You can create a poster out of that.
What do you guys think about this Ohtani first Dodger home run?
Oh, man, dude. First of all, if I'm catching Ohtani's ball,
What are you asking for?
Oh, I would have ran out the stadium. I'm not asking anybody for anything. I was gone.
Ball. You're just keeping the ball.
Dude, gone.
Well, let's just say security.
Put it in your house and say that that's...
Oh, first of all, maybe I take a photo with the ball on the field just to like authenticate it. Like, okay, hey, this is where I was at. This is the ball.
Uh-huh.
And I'm chucking up the peace sign and I'm running out of there because nobody's taking that ball away from me.
Well, security stops you. So
yeah, but I saw a video where like they're coming, right? Hey man, I'm fast, bro.
Okay.
I think I'm fast, but I run a forever, but you know. Hey, I would have ran out. I mean, what do you think?
I mean, you know, you don't have to give it away if you don't want to. It's your possession once you get it. So you don't have to run out. You can just say no.
So what happened? What
do you think happened? At the market and you pay for groceries. You don't have to run with the groceries out.
So are these security people trained to say, hey, give me the ball back? Or
No. They go and politely ask, like, hey, you know, Shohei or the Dodgers. I don't know who. I think it was the Dodgers that wanted the ball. I don't even think it was Shohei that requested it. And so they said, you know, the Dodgers would like to, you know, to ask, politely ask if you're willing to give up the ball.
But they said it was for Shohei, that he wanted it.
Okay, well, I mean, so then they asked her, and usually they'll bring the person.
Uh-huh.
You know, in the past, when I've asked for a ball,
uh-huh,
you know, my 1,000 RBI was a home run, and I asked for that ball. My first big league homer, my first, you know, the different first, you ask for the ball.
Yeah,
and you're
like,
hey, can I get that ball? I want to keep it, right? And so they go and they find the person who has it, and they bring them down to outside the clubhouse. Damn. And then you go meet them. You shake hands, though. You take a picture,
yeah.
And then you're like, hey, what would you like? And then the negotiation starts, right?
Ooh.
And this is like, if you get a person that's good at negotiating, then you're like, dang, you feel like you're at the border.
Imagine if it was me that caught that ball, Adrian.
You feel it?
Let me Google how much you made.
You remember going through the border? Remember going through the border and you get those alcancías, the little piggy banks?
Uh-huh.
And then you go like, hey, how much for that? They're like, $40. And you're like, $1.
Yeah.
And they're like, $39. Yeah, and you're like, $2.
Finkel.
And then you end up buying it for like $5.
Yeah.
So like you start doing negotiations.
Especially as you get closer to the border.
Exactly. They're just like, no. They just want to get rid of it.
Jay, so what would you have asked for?
Man, I guess in my mind instantly, right now, it's got to be worth $50, $100, right?
That's a good question. I mean, yeah. I'm sure some person in Japan would probably pay a lot of money for it.
We didn't even think about that.
You know, they'll pay a lot of money
for it. Someone in Japan could really pay a lot of money for it.
Yeah. So the question is, do you look for a buyer in Japan or a Dodger fan?
Of course.
Or do you ask Shohei for season tickets?
That's what I would ask for. Two dugouts.
Season tickets for the rest of his contract with the Dodgers for 10 years. Or do you ask for, you know, memorabilia from teammates? Or do you ask for...
unlimited beer.
You know, exactly. Like, you know, you can ask for whatever. It's a negotiation.
Yeah.
Right?
Man. Hey, that's... yeah, if I could get... if Shohei, bro, like, if you give me your phone number and season tickets for the rest of your Dodger career.
Okay, that's my question. Why would you want his phone number?
Because I could be like, hey, Shohei, what you doing tonight, bro? Oh, all right, cool. I'll be over there. You know, like,
he's going to give you that phone number that people do when they're doing like these texts where people just send in questions. It's not really their phone number.
Hey, man, but it's going to make me feel good. You know what I'm saying? I got Shohei's number. Look. Yeah, season tickets sound like...
I think that's a fair ask.
For the rest of his career.
You know, like season tickets, it doesn't have to be like dugout club. Season tickets for the next 10 years.
Have you ever sat in the pavilions, Adrian?
I have.
Man, that's the best part right there.
Growing up, we would get these tickets called the Tony Gwynn tickets in San Diego at Qualcomm. And you would sit just above right field. Uh-huh. And it was $5 for the tickets, all you can eat. Oh. And that's what we would do. We'd just sit out there and just grub.
That's awesome.
And watch baseball games. The problem was that's where the sun hit. Oof, it's hot.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Sombrero? Okay.
Yeah.
Right?
You know? Yeah, of course.
So what would you have asked?
I mean, I've given up signed balls, bats, you know, glove, hats. Some people ask for like team jacket. You know, like they like the jacket that the players wear.
How many balls did you ask for?
I probably have like... I would say probably like 10 balls that I asked for, uh-huh, specific, like, you know, certain home runs and stuff like that. Uh-huh. They're all in storage. So, you know, just given that everybody asks for different things, but you know what? Yeah. I'm not Shohei. My ball is not going to sell in the secondary market for, you know, $1 million. My ball is going to sell in the secondary market for $5. So for them, it's like,
they're going to sell it at the Tijuana.
Exactly.
Border, huh?
$1, $2. Manila del Tianguis.
Yeah. Oh man, Shohei, bro. So, like that's... So what do you think they really gave her? What did they end up giving her?
What did they end up giving her? Sorry.
Two hats, a signed ball, and a signed bat.
That's it. Yeah, she
went on and did an interview after, mm-hmm, and basically regretting that she didn't ask for more. She actually asked to meet Ohtani, because apparently she didn't get to meet him. So.
Ooh, yeah,
that's.
That should have been an immediate, like, hey, let's go to the clubhouse. You get to meet Ohtani and, you know, take a picture with him. That should have been an immediate, like, offer.
But if that's the case, I feel like the Dodgers make it better, right?
Oh, they will. Right. 100% will. You know, a lot of times when a person doesn't ask for a lot of stuff, the team ends up giving them more perks.
Yeah. And you know what would be super cool? If I told Ohtani, hey, man, let me just catch one fastball. They put I put the catcher's gear on. I want to catch one fastball.
You wouldn't catch it.
I that's what I'm saying. Like, I want to be able to say, can I catch it or not? And okay, if I do catch it,
we'll see if we can make that happen.
What about one at bat?
Ooh.
Versus Ohtani.
Well, the problem is we would not be able to make
it
happen.
Yeah. That's
because Shohei would not one get warmed up to pitch to just, you know.
How bad does he want that ball, though?
Right? Yeah. How bad does he want it?
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm saying we could potentially make you catching Ohtani's bullpen happen, but just step in for one.
Yeah, step in for one.
You know, sign a liability waiver and see what happens.
Dude, how cool would that be? Dude, I think that's a video. That'd go viral.
All right. He's not throwing a full speed fastball till next year, so. He's on rehab program.
Give me $1 million, bro.
I know.
What's your thoughts on the Dodgers' hot start? Is this the year they're taking it all?
You know, this is a year where I believe they are, again, in a great position to take it all. I cannot sit here and say that they are the hands-down favorite to win it all.
Yeah.
There's a couple teams that have really good teams as well. I've said it all along. I think next year is the year that they're going to take it all because you're going to have Ohtani back, right? You're going to have Yamamoto a full season in. So you have two aces. You have Glass now.
Yeah.
So you have three aces, like, full go, and you still have Dustin May. You have Gonsolin back. You have the ability to re-sign Bueller. You know, Kershaw might still be around. Yeah. You have Bobby Miller still, who's a potentially turning into an ace. So next year, if you really look at it, they're going to be loaded really, down. Really deep in the pitching yeah. staff. This year, it feels like, you know, Otani's not throwing at all. So you have Yamamoto and Glass now, and Bobby Miller's the three right now. Gonsolin and May, you don't know if they're going to come back. Bueller's yeah. coming back, but you don't know what kind of Bueller yeah. you're going to get. So, you know, there's a lot of like
questions.
You know, yeah. unknowns. I wouldn't even say question marks because yeah. if they're there, they're going to be great, but unknowns, right? And so this year, they seem like the pitching staff might, you know, be puzzled together a little bit, where next year, they're going to have so many pieces that I think next year is the year for them.
So what you're saying-
For sure. They could win it this year, but I'm saying I'm going to go out on a limb and say next year they're winning the World Series.
So if they don't win it this year- It's okay, because you know they're going to win it next year.
If I was a betting person, I would go put money on them to win the World Series next year.
Got it. So my question is, even with the hot bats, you still got to be able to pitch, huh?
Playoffs, man. The playoffs, a good pitcher beats a good offense any day. And, you know, it's just, I believe that it's the pitching staff that wins World Series.
Yeah.
You know, I think the Dodgers, as you can see, look at last year, right? Probably way better team than the Diamondbacks. Guess what? The Diamondbacks pitch better.
Yeah.
I don't care what kind of offense you got. Diamondbacks beat them. Why? Because they pitch better.
Yeah.
So pitching wins a World Series. And if your pitchers don't step up, you're not going to win. And so, you know, that's my 100% belief in the game of baseball.
When you had a playoff matchup against a good pitcher, what did you do to prepare for that?
I mean, you just try to, I mean, those guys, you battle. The thing that make pitchers great and is the fact that, you know, I remember facing, you know, John Lester in the playoffs when the Cubs beat us and then they won the World Series, right? John Lester, you could do all you wanted to prepare, watch all the video in the world. And then you step up to the plate and you saw he was a four-seam cutter and you saw this and that. And then you step up to the plate and all of a sudden he's throwing you sinkers and changeups, something you had not seen on video. Right. And so like the really, really great pitchers in the postseason have an ability to completely change and be a different pitcher than they were in the regular season. And that's like makes it impossible to prepare for that.
Yeah.
Right. And it's almost like, hey, I'm going to go forcing cutter curveball, which was John Lester. My first at bat against him in that series, I get a base hit. I don't see a four seamer, a cutter the rest of the game. I just see sinkers and changeups the rest of the way. And that's what makes really good catchers and pitchers in the postseason. You know, at that time it was David Ross catching, and you know the Giants won those three World Series. And everybody wants to talk about the pitching, and you know a lot of people forget to talk about Buster Posey. He's sitting there watching and analyzing and changing it up. And you know the report can say one thing, but what he sees behind the plate and what he feels, and he's looking at that hitter and he's analyzing. Same thing with Yadier Molina. Why did the Cardinals win a lot in the playoffs? Because Yadier Molina could see these things happen, and the pitchers trusted him. That if he was like, "Hey, you know, I know you're a four seam guy, but right now I need you to throw me a two seamer," they were like, "Okay, I'll throw it," and they trusted him.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's the thing that separates to me in the playoffs the really great pitchers and catchers is that's who wins to me. That's who wins the World Series. It's not necessarily just the names on the list.
Yeah. So you say. The catcher is like another head coach.
100%. And the pitchers have to trust it. You can't just have a written game plan and follow it, because if that pitcher, for instance, doesn't have that pitch that they're going to use, then he needs to do something different.
Adjust.
Because if not, you're just going to keep throwing the same pitch that's not working.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be able to adjust. Like every game, you know, they talk about baseball as such a chess match. And if you have a game plan, but the other team knows your game plan, guess what? You got to try something else, right? Yeah. And if you don't have the ability to try something else, you're just going to be stuck in that same move, and the other teams already know what you're doing.
Game of baseball.
That's right.
The Masters. What do you guys think?
We're switching from baseball to golf.
Yeah.
That's like my sports career. I went from baseball to golf.
I got to catch up to Adrian.
Okay, so I know you don't know a lot about golf, and I got to take you on the golf course, but... The Masters is coming up, one of the four majors, which a lot of people say it's the best major out of the four. Mm-hmm. Some professional golfers will say otherwise. They like other majors. A lot of them like the Open. A lot of them like the U.S. Open. But Masters is a tradition. And there's a tradition. And John Rahm, who now is in LIV, LIV Golf, won it last year. So there's a couple topics that we can talk about here, which is, to me are a lot of fun because I love golf.
Look at it.
So one, it's all is, excited over one here. Is, the first one is, the previous champ gets to host, and I don't know if it's all the previous winners or everybody that's on the field. So they host all the previous master winners, right? And they have a dinner, and he gets to cater the dinner. He has to pay for it, but he has to cater it, right? So John Rahm is bringing, from what I heard, he's bringing in Jose Andres, the really famous chef. Spanish chef, you know, and he's doing a full Spanish meal. You know, paella and jamón ibérico and like all the tapas and all that amazing stuff.
Making me hungry over
here. I know, right? Yeah. That makes me hungry too. So part of that is the players that are there or the, you know, the previous winners get to eat that or they get to order from the menu. They can order whatever drinks they want. You know, they can order cigars apparently. They can order, do whatever. And John Rahm will pay for it. So, one, first question to you, and I'll do a follow-up. If you were to win, what would you cater in? What would you have for dinner?
Dude, I'd bring my favorite spot at the corner, an Al Pastor. You know, bring it. You see it spinning. And I'd have some tacos, bro.
To have some tacos?
Imagine, like, dude, I get to bring all these guys tacos.
I know.
Taquero.
Okay, so you did tacos. I would do Mexican as well. I would do tacos, ceviche, like mariscos, and like all kinds of Mexican, like bring in like, you know, some of the best Mexican chefs and just do this amazing, not high-end Mexican, like like legit street. You know what I mean?
We bring torta over here too, right? So they can have tortas.
My first part of this question is, why wouldn't players be like, hey, if I win, I'm going to do this. So then other players are like, I want to have that for dinner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know?
And then they let him win. But the other part is some players that don't like the other player will just order
up. Which is pretty common within sports, right?
Yeah. So now that Rahm is on LIV, do the PGA players that have won make sure that they run up that bill to like $1 million?
I'm pretty sure just in spite,
like, hey, you were a PGA player when you won.
Yeah.
You left. Now we're going to make you pay for it.
It is what it is, right?
All the Yamasaki 24 you can get out there.
Oh, my God. Hey,
How would you run it up? What would be some things that you would order?
Definitely a ton of Yamasaki whiskey until I couldn't have any more whiskey.
How much is that whiskey?
Well, the Yamasaki, I don't know if it's 21 or 24, but they're like a couple $100,000 a bottle.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, so you know what my mom used to do? She used to take Tupperware. I'd take my own Tupperware over there. Pa' llevar.
Pa' llevar.
Porque en la casa no hay comida.
No, definitely a ton of Yamasaki. What else?
Hey, man. Do you know how good that food is going to be, though? I just take, just platos pa' llevar, bro.
Yeah. Petrus. Bunch of Petrus wine. They say that at Augusta, they have the best wine selection. Order a bunch of Petrus.
Man, everybody just have a bottle in their own hand. Huh?
Yeah, just imagine just ordering Petrus. Keep bringing it.
Hey, so at what Petrus. Point do you think he starts to get like, dude, like, you can't buy no more, bro.
You can't. You can do whatever you want.
They got to use the black card, huh? Unlimited.
Did you look it up?
Well, there's a Yamasaki 55-year-old single malt.
Yeah.
That went for $934,000.
Yeah.
Where's this being shipped from, bro?
Japan. Japanese whiskey.
Straight out of the volcano or what? You got to go inside the volcano to grab it.
Yeah. So, you know, the field this year is interesting because you have Scheffler who's been on fire. You have Rory, who's never won.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure he's going to, you know, he's been kind of, this last tournament, he did really good, but he's kind of like in that like middle where he hasn't been top five, but he's been top 10 in a lot of these tournaments.
Plus 1,000.
For Rory?
Yep.
Yeah, so you have Scottie Scheffler plus 500, Rory plus 1,000, John Rahm to repeat at 1,300, Kepka 21, Spieth 21, Salatoris 21, Hovland 21, Schauffele 24, Åberg 24, Cantlay 28, Thomas 28, Honestly, like if I was a betting man, I would just either go Scheffler, Rory, or Matsuyama. I wouldn't bet on anybody else.
Who's gonna win it, Jay?
Who's gonna win, Jay?
Tiger Woods?
I'm gonna go with fucking Juan Rory. Juan Rory's gonna win it all. No, I'm gonna take Rory.
Rory?
Why not?
I like it.
He hasn't won.
He hasn't won. I know.
Maybe he has a chip on his shoulder and he's like, yo, I'm winning it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how, you know, like
good odds.
Wanting to win something so bad sometimes makes it so much harder to win.
It's like trying to hit a home run.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, when you want to make things happen, they don't happen. It's
yeah.
Like, you know, like the fans a lot of times want players to care so much so they do better. But in reality, when you care so much, to me, there's only one sport that I can think of that when you want it more, you can make it happen. And to me, that's football.
Yeah.
Because you can actually like, or like wrestling or like these things were like.
I was almost thinking boxing too. Like
maybe boxing where you can like.
Tic-tac-toe.
Tic-tac-toe, I guess also. where you can actually like outwill somebody.
Yeah.
Right. In the sports where it's more about hand-eye coordination and being relaxed.
Technical.
And being loose and technical. You need to be relaxed. You can't like tense up.
Yeah.
You know, the minute you start tensing up, you don't do well.
Yeah.
And so like to me, it's like golf is one of those where like if you're like, I gotta hit it straight, you just
and you can't with the, I feel like when you're hitting a golf ball, it's not like, you know how they say like, oh, just hit it as hard as you can.
It's the opposite, right? It's the opposite, yeah.
Let the club do the work, right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So
that's how you know I'm a good golfer, guys. Do the club, let the club do the work.
There you go. How far can you hit a drive?
You know. I've hit one before, honestly. It went backwards. No, I'm not lying, dude. I hit it and it went up and it went backwards, dude. I don't know how that happened, but it happened. I don't know.
What were you using, a chancla?
Dude, I don't know, dude. Hey, how far can you hit it, though?
If I get a hold of it in the right conditions, I can hit it over 300 yards.
Can you prove it?
100% can prove it. I got plenty of videos showing that I've.
No, we're not. It ain't no videos. We got to go out there.
All right, we'll go out there. But
dude, I don't know what you're doing.
You got to be able to measure it somehow.
You're going to give Torta $100 and say, hey, I. Yeah, you're going to just go, shh. All right, prove it.
We'll figure out a way to prove it. Yeah.
Dang, you look a little nervous now.
I'm not nervous.
Oh, okay.
I can hit over 300. Take us home, Jay.
All right, man. Hey, thank you guys for joining. Until next time.
Until next time.
Peace.
Peace out.